And I believe in God, the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate with reverence and with joy the Feast of Pentecost. It is a historical commemoration of that signal event when God the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other languages and were understood. This is the birthday of the Universal Church. It is that great moment when Peter is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and not only are the disciples praising God in ways that can be understood by people from around the known world, in the ancient Roman Empire and from beyond, but also he is inspired to preach the most effective sermon ever. It brings 3,000 people to conversion, then they're baptized, and again you have this great outward rush of the Holy Spirit. 10 days after, Jesus has ascended on high, and in fulfillment of his promise that he would send the Holy Ghost, another comforter, who would lead them into all truth. It also fulfills the ancient design of God to bring his Spirit upon our human flesh, that we would be animated not only by a human spirit, but now enlivened by his Spirit. God has become one of us that we might become God, St. Athanasius. And we see this great grace given when we are now lifted up into the divine life of the Holy Trinity through the infusion of grace of the Holy Spirit given to us on the day of Pentecost in the Church, and then through the regular administration of grace down through the ages and in our own lifetimes, through holy baptism, through confirmation, where we are sealed with the Holy Ghost, the laying on of hands, and also through the gift of grace, the Holy Communion, and by our faith in him, we are now enlivened and quickened as his Spirit is now our spirit. St. Paul marvels at this in the Epistle to the Romans, that God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So the love of God that we have in us toward God, that is Jesus' Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit. And so these are the things of the Spirit that move people that have been spiritually reborn. They are excited about the things of God. They are thrilled to hear that Christ has won the victory. They wake up when they hear that their sins can be forgiven, that they can be washed clean. They get excited when they hear about death being swallowed up in victory. They begin to think, their heart expands with faith, hope, and love when they hear about the hope of heaven and the regenerate and the restoral and the restoration of our human race. This is the gift that is given. It is something that St. Paul will say in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, something that many in the world don't understand because they haven't received the Spirit. This kind of excitement doesn't fall upon them because they just don't get it. They haven't been lit up. They're not enlightened. They're not given that grace yet that they will understand these things. So for those in the world who are not converted, who haven't received the Spirit, all these things that would animate the church and fulfill its inmost desire, these things really sound like fables and nonsense. Really. It doesn't make sense. So I think we should have compassion. Compassion on those who have not yet received the gospel. Perhaps they've heard it, but it went in one ear and out the other. They haven't received it with a true inner hearing. They might have not been able to listen to it and receive it. Let's have compassion on them. There's a story of the conversion of Rabbi Zacharias, who died this last week, one of the great apologists of the Christian faith. An apologist is somebody who makes an apology for Christianity. Not like being sorry about this, but explaining it, one who explains the faith. And he is a tremendous explainer of the faith. We've lost a treasure in the church militant. Rabbi Zacharias, as a young man, tried to commit suicide. He was in despair, saw no hope. When he woke up after his attempt, he was in the hospital and somebody read the gospel to him. And he heard the words that we have in this morning's gospel lesson. Because I live, ye shall live also. And it woke him up. He had hope now. And he clung to that phrase, because I live, ye shall live also. And it animated him for a lifetime of service in the church. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He enlivens, he quickens, he brings people to the mind of Christ. In the epistle to the Corinthians, which we've been studying in the adult Bible study, there is a warning, though, to the Corinthian church. They have fallen away from their first love. They're not paying attention to the things that really matter any longer. They're all full of disputes and factionalism, and they're having, you know, splits and tears in their parish. St. Paul reminds them of their conversion. He brings them back to the mind of Christ. He says that they're being carnal Christians. And that would be one who has forgotten what it means to be enlivened and quickened by the Holy Spirit. While thinking but the thoughts of time, they are now weaving new chains of woe and crime. Instead of minding things heavenly, they're only thinking of things that are earthly. And so they've lost what it means to be empowered and enlivened by the Holy Spirit, because they're thinking the things of the world. Like the seed that is planted in the parable of the sower, that cannot bring forth fruit because it is choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life and brings no fruit forward. Perhaps an apt metaphor for these three states of the soul in regard to the power of the Holy Spirit might be, and you can improve upon this with me, but say there's a bus ride to the Grand Canyon, and some of the people on the bus are blind. And so when it stops at Mather Point, what is the point? You know, I mean, they can hear the descriptions, they can obviously sense the surroundings, but they cannot see the vista. They cannot see it with their own eyes. They don't have that kind of perception. This might be like the natural man that hasn't yet been given the gift of sight to see spiritual things. Then there are those that can see and appreciate and that are standing in awe and wonder at the marvel of the Grand Canyon, its vast expanse, where you have to recalibrate what big means. Maybe you haven't been there for a while. If you go back, I guarantee you'll be like, I forgot how beautiful this is. And so that would be like a spiritual person that understands the forever vista and then beyond of what God has in store for us, that no eye can see or ear can understand or ear can hear or mind can grasp the things that God has in store for us. They see, they wonder, they're receiving the grace given, and it goes out into infinity. But those who are carnally minded, we'd be like those who can see. They've got the gift of sight, but they don't want to get off the bus because they're busy with other things. They're trying to send messages back and forth on their devices, or they're reading their comic book, or they're busy unwrapping their candy bar, or they're making out in the back of the bus, or they've got some distraction that's not, and the tour guide would be like, come and see it. We've got our opportunity now. The lighting is perfect. Come see. Like, no. So on Pentecost, we are continually reminded of the gift that has been given to us and the call to receive it with gladness and to live out the gift that God has given to us. For verily, the Spirit of God indwells you. God has given to you the Spirit of His Son, crying forth, Abba, Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.